In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
That is right. Time to talk movies. It's Pass the Popcorn. Brought to you every Monday afternoon by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family, and the Bangor Drive-In. Alan Adams from The Main Edge here in studio with us again. Mr. Adams, delightful to have you with us on your day off from theater obligations.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's been a nice long run, and it's nice to have a couple of days where I can take a step back. So yeah, we're off tonight, tomorrow night, and then we're back at it. Shows at 7 on Wednesday.
Fabulous. All right, so and when did you have time to see movies?
It's remarkable, isn't it? I'm not entirely sure when I did either, but wouldn't you know, I was able to find to carve out time during the day on Friday. I actually did something I haven't done in a long time, and I went back to back.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I went in for the noontime show of 47 Meters Down, got out in time to start the next showing of Cars 3, and then walked out and kind of wanted to die a little bit. Not because it was just one of those things where it's like, that's a lot of time to spend in a movie theater.
Well, yeah, and you don't get to watch movies the way the rest of us do because, you know, you're making, do you write things down or are you taking mental notes?
Yeah, it's mostly a mental note kind of thing, but it's one of those things where I have to stay conscious of that kind of stuff, which sometimes that's easier than other times. And, when you're basically on, in the middle of the fourth hour of sitting in a movie theater, even if it is something that you're kind of enjoying, it's kind of things start to get a little hazy. I'm pretty sure I managed to keep the two movies separate in my reviews, but who knows? Like maybe Lightning McQueen. Do you think? You know what? Maybe Lightning McQueen didn't get eaten by a shark. Maybe that didn't happen. I'm gonna have to reinvestigate.
Better
some
go back and watch again. All right, which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's talk about Cars 3 because. I'm a huge fan of Pixar. I think we can all kind of agree that in terms of, the hierarchy of animated movie studios, Pixar is kind of at the tippy top in terms of that combination of critical and commercial success. That being said, I mean, they've made 18 feature-length movies at this point. And just by definition, some have to be at the bottom of that list. I think that's kind of where the Cars movies go, and that's not by any, and I don't mean to indicate that I think these movies are bad, because I don't think they are. I don't think Pixar is really capable of making a bad movie at this point. They'd have to really make an effort to do so. However, I think they're maybe the least sophisticated of all the Pixar films, but they're also probably the most unabashedly kid-oriented.
Yeah.
Of the Pixar offerings, because it's like they're entertaining, but they're not going to make you blubber like a lunatic when you're watching like Inside Out or Wall-E or Up or
anything. They have Larry the Cable Guy in them, for God's sakes.
Right, and it's like, and then the reality is like you can't ever refer to anything involving Larry the Cable Guy as sophisticated.
No,
like it's just not acceptable. It's a pretty basic story. Lightning McQueen is back on the racetrack doing his thing in the Piston Cup. Journeying through this world that is both clearly designed for and oddly devoid of humans.
Yes.
He's doing his race thing. But there's a new racer in town named Jackson Storm, voiced by Armie Hammer. Who he's technologically advanced and he has all the highest, the highest tech training methods. Think Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. Like those are the sorts of training methods we're talking about. So he starts winning a lot of races and that leads to other new breed of race car coming in and also winning races. And before you know it, like all of Lightning McQueen's friends are kind of getting forced out of the game. And he finds himself not necessarily being as successful as he once was. And even with the help of all his buddies from Radiator Springs, including Mater, voiced by the aforementioned Larry the Cable Guy, and the car Sally, voiced by Bonnie Hunt, Luigi, voiced by Tony Shalhoub, like all these guys, he can't make it happen. So he realizes, to beat him, you got to join him. So he winds up joining one of these high-tech training centers sponsored by the mudflap billionaire Sterling, voiced by Nathan Fillion. And he has his personal trainer called Cruz Martinez, like C-R-U-Z, but Cruz, which is delightful. And it's just like, oh, okay, this is clearly a Cars movie. She trains him, but, you know, he struggles against her newfangled ways. It becomes clear that he needs to do something that lets him remain true to himself. And so he goes in search of the mentor to his now departed mentor Doc, yeah, who was voiced by the late Paul Newman. He tracks him down in North Carolina. He's an old truck named Smokey, voiced by freaking Chris Cooper of all people.
Wow.
Because of course, why wouldn't you get Chris Cooper? And then they start to work towards, you know, understanding that while he might not be able to achieve the technological heights of these newfound racers, he also has something they don't, which is experience. Uh-huh. And so he's got one last shot to go down to Florida, and he needs to win this race to have a chance to continue in the Piston Cup, as opposed to retiring to a life of product endorsements and race commentary. It's not the sort of heartstring tugging kind of sophisticated storytelling that you'll get from a lot of Pixar movies, but it's super fun. Like the kids who were at the screening that I saw were going nuts. And again, like we make fun of Larry the Cable Guy, but literally every time that character said anything, the kids in the crowd went nuts. Like, they love it, you know, and so I get it. Again, it's not it's not a great movie, and it's certainly in the lower end of the spectrum as far as Pixar movies are concerned. But again, when the bar is set so high, you can miss it by a fair amount and still be a really solid movie, and that's what this is. It's not a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, kids are going to have a really good time.
Yeah, well, I got one who's looking forward to it home.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, and he'll dig it, no doubt.
He loved the first two, absolutely. All right, and then movie number two, we're talking, of course, with Alan Adams of The Main Edge. We're going underwater looking for sharks with Mandy Moore of This Is Us.
Oh my God, Rich! Now look, I'm someone who is I enjoy shark movies. I think it's one of those sort of subgenres that has opened itself up to a lot of sort of weirdly divergent things, whether you're talking about terrible things like Deep Blue Sea or the somehow still a thing Sharknado franchise. There's another one of those coming.
Oh,
just so you know. But I will say, I was pleasantly surprised by last year's The Shallows with Blake Lively. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's a shark movie starring someone who I don't necessarily believe has any talent. Maybe this one will also surprise me. It did not. 47 Meters Down, it's one of those things. It was remarkable how quickly I started rooting for the sharks in this movie.
Wait, you don't think Mandy Moore has talent?
I think she's a fine singer.
Oh.
I guess. I'm not going to say she doesn't have any talent. I don't think she's necessarily someone who should be carrying a movie. I'll put it that way.
In a shark cage.
Well, sure. So she plays this girl named Lisa who's on a Mexican vacation with her sister, played by Claire Holt, who's, I think, on one of those Vampire Diaries shows. I don't really know. But anyway, she's in Mexico on a vacation with her sister. She's trying to get over a breakup with her boyfriend. He left her because she's not adventurous enough.
Oh.
And so, they they wind up going through this whole thing. They meet a couple of local guys who just happen to know a guy who is willing to take you out and dunk you in a shark cage, no questions asked. Because she needs to prove to this boyfriend that she is in fact spontaneous and adventurous, they decide that they are going to go out and go in this shark cage. And so they go out and, They immediately meet the kind of seedy and sort of shady Captain Taylor, played by Matthew Modine. So Matthew Modine's in this movie.
All right.
And they do the shark cage thing where it's like they, you know, they climb in and they get lowered 5 meters into the water and then they see the sharks. But as we know the title of the movie, we can kind of see where this is going to go. Yeah. Equipment malfunctions and they wind up plummeting in the cage to the ocean floor, which is, you guessed it, 47 meters down. And they are cut off from contact from the ship, and there are sharks everywhere, and only one of them has any experience with actual diving, and so they've got an hour or so of oxygen left, and they have to figure out how they're going to save themselves from, you know, being, you know, suffocating or getting eaten by sharks, or maybe both. Who knows? but yeah, like, I was ready for the sharks, like, 5 minutes in. Before they even saw the ocean, I was like, this shark cannot get here fast enough.
So, is the boyfriend in Mexico?
No.
So, they could just Photoshop some pictures of them in a shark cage to prove that they had done it. To
oh, 100%. The 100%. Okay. Yeah, though, no, that's...
So, right at the get-go, there's not even a justification there.
There are a lot of questions that are involved as it has the narrative, such as it is, of 47 meters down plays out. Like, look, and it's one of those things where you can almost see how a movie like this might work. Like, you know, that sort of, you know, that sort of, it's, I mean, it's variation on the locked room mystery. Like, you're kind of, you're kind of stuck in this claustrophobic space.
How do you act when you're underwater too? And you've got diving gear on? Do they communicate?
Yeah, they
is
have
it all, I mean,
well,
hands.
No, they have or? their big like glass face masks, okay. So you can kind of see their faces. And they do have like, you know, radios or whatever. But for whatever reason, apparently the range is only 40 meters on the radios. So they actually, there's one point where they actually try to communicate with the boat, and they one of them actually gets out of the cage after, you know, moving the this whole ridiculous complicated thing because they can't get the thing open and blah blah blah, ridiculous. Swims up and it's like 40 meters. Like that's where you can actually communicate with Matthew Modine and tell him that you're still alive, and so he can go get the Coast Guard or whatever the heck it is he's gonna do. And so they have this whole thing where they're down there and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, how they're going to get more oxygen. You know, they have to decide, you know, if they can figure out a way to get another winch down, the Coast Guard, et cetera, et cetera. It's just ludicrous. And there's a twist in the movie that is both blatantly telegraphed and completely stupid.
The shark is a vegan?
The shark was dead the whole time.
Oh no.
but yeah, it's just one of those movies where you think it could have been good, but for whatever reason the pieces just don't come together in a way that's palatable at all. Like it just like even the parts that should be intense with like the sharks swimming around and all that stuff. It's like there are moments anytime the tension starts to build, it's diffused by either a stupid line of dialogue or, you know, a weirdly shot, you know, action sequence or just some other form of unintentional humor. Like I laughed a lot in this movie. I do not believe that was the filmmaker's intent, but I definitely, there were moments that I was, and it wasn't that like genuinely amused kind of laughter. It was that head shaking, sad, I can't believe this is happening to me laughter.
The only awareness I had of the movie before you came in today was seeing the poster or I think it was a cardboard standing thing at the theater when I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy. And as I went by it, I just sort of went, no.
I gotta tell you, Carrie, that instinct, that's a good instinct. Like, you know, you clearly have a finely honed sense of what you should see and what you should not see, because 47 meters down, you should not see.
Go back and watch Jaws again.
Seriously, like if you want to see a good shark movie, like go see Jaws. See Jaws 2. Hell, see Jaws 3. I'm going to draw the line at Jaws the Revenge, but yeah, any of the first three is going to be better than 47 meters down.
Oh, there you go. Alan Adams putting a nice button on it there. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
It's 5:30 here on Downtown Pass the Popcorn every Monday, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family and the Bangor Drive-In.